Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Armies of the kingdom is our subject for today. And I want us, first of all, to understand that automatically we are in the army of the living God. The Bible calls us soldiers of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 1-3, you know. So that is it with his children. All of his children are soldiers, because the first kind of picture God gave about himself was that he was a militant God. You know, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the Bible says that there was so much chaos, darkness, irregularity. The devil was around, of course, and was the cause of all the confusion on the earth. And God said, light be. That command that he gave, let there be light, is a militant word. He was portraying himself as a militant God. Hallelujah. So God, first of all, shows himself as a militant God. You know, and then that was during the first kingdom era. Now, if we believe that the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is fully coming, when he comes again as the King of Kings, and we believe that he wants us to taste of the kingdom, the powers of the world to come, before the world actually comes, then we believe that God wants his church, his children, to be military children. It's wonderful. If you read the book of Songs of Songs, his wife is actually a military woman. Bible says that the church, the bride, is awesome like an army with banners. So that is what we are. In Israel, everybody who is a citizen goes to military service. You know, everybody is given military training if you are a citizen. That's how it is in the spiritual Israel also. All of us are soldiers of Christ Jesus. Now, we belong to the visible army. There is an invisible army. We belong to the visible army. There are two main realms of the kingdom of God, the spiritual realm and the physical realm. If you like, the heavenly realm and then the earthly realm. So we are soldiers supposed to bring about God's kingdom, God's interest in the visible world. Angels are in charge of the invisible world. That's why heaven is full of angels. I believe there are more angels in heaven than human beings. Yeah, wonderful. But that is their estate. The earth he has not given to angels, but to the children of men. That is us. It's wonderful. But being born again, Christians as we are, soldiers as we are, we need to be trained. Because you can have a soldier who is trained and a soldier who is not trained. All right? What we want to examine today are the credentials of the trained soldier. What makes you a trained soldier and other people an untrained soldiers, okay? Other believers, untrained soldiers. If you read Genesis 14:14, the Bible says that Abraham, who lived in the kingdom system, foreshadowed the kingdom system before the law, you know, Abraham was the father of many nations. He was a king. God made him a ruler. Actually, the Bible says that God promised unto him and to the heirs of his, to the heirs of the seed of Abraham, that to be the heir of the world. This world is physically ours. This physical world is ours, I mean. You see, so Abraham, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 14, there were people who were born in his house, 318 of them. And he trained them himself in the kingdom system. It's not enough to be born in the house, to be born in the church, or to be a believer. That is what I mean. You have to be a trained believer. Trained so that you become like the shadow kingdom of God that Abraham tasted of. John 8:56, when Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad, you know. So Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 3, takes us all the way back to enjoy the blessings of Abraham, because really that is the same kingdom system under which Abraham lived, that we also live under by the cross of Jesus Christ. So Abraham trained this 318 people born in his house, and they went against about five nations together. Is it four or five nations? They went against them. They had captured Lot and all those people. But Abraham, with 318 people, he went to conquer those five kings. And then he rescued Lot and took all the booty. That's wonderful. That was when Melchizedek, who is a type of the Lord Jesus, appeared for the first time on the earth, without mother, without father, and he gave us the order with which Jesus, our sweet Jesus, is going to live under in the kingdom system which Abraham shadowed with Melchizedek. Hallelujah. So we have to be trained. Otherwise, we are going to be a disincentive to our own selves. You see, you can be so strong that you can use your strength against yourself. You can be so powerful that the power will kill you. The power will, you'll be drunk with it, and the power will drink you, because you are too powerful. If you are powerful, you must know yourself and know how to dissipate the power properly. Otherwise, you can have a congregation of soldiers that we call army with a singular goal, supposed to perform together, and they will be a disincentive to themselves. They will turn their swords against one another. They will turn their strength against one another. That should not be the confusion that the soldiers of Jesus Christ live in. Hallelujah. So let's look at trained and untrained soldiers. It's a disincentive to send untrained soldiers to the battleground. Sometimes we want to train people on the field. When I say that, you understand. In other words, by practice, we want to train. But it's a very dangerous thing. I hope you know that. Before you send anybody to the battleground, he must know some basic way of surviving, and some basic do's and don'ts. Some things that you shouldn't engage in, because if you engage in, you are going to destroy our mission on the field. Hallelujah. So it's important to be competent a soldier. It's not enough to say that, well, we are soldiers, let us all go. No, it's not enough. We have to train ourselves, because as it is in the physical, so it is. Eh? So it is. Whatever. In the spiritual realm. Wonderful. It's wonderful. The Bible says of our Lord Jesus that though he was a son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Because it's not enough to be a son of God. It's not enough to be holy. It's not enough to love God. You must be competent. Hallelujah. When it comes to kingdomizing our world. So it was when Jesus Christ actually became matured, he went through all the training that the Father gave him, and he became matured. The King James says when he became perfect, Hebrews chapter 5, then he became the author of eternal salvation to those who believe. Then he could bring the kingdom into reality by his death on the cross. So what is the first credential of the skilled soldier? Number one, the first one is that the skilled soldier does not wrestle with humans. Does not wrestle humans. The skilled soldier does not wrestle humans. Does not fight with humans. Ephesians chapter 6 and then verse 12 says what? It says that, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there are children of God who wrestle against flesh and blood. They believe that their enemy is, in fact, even the devil, they bypass the devil. They say, this brother is my main problem. Hey, this sister is my main obstacle. And so all their prayers, all their strength, can you imagine it? They use all their strength in trying to wrestle a fellow man of God or a fellow church or a fellow believer or somebody who is becoming a thorn in their flesh, so to speak. It's not a thorn, but it want to wrestle him down, keep him down. And so he goes down with the person, because when you get up, the person will also rise up. So like cock, you have to keep it down, and one of your hand will have to be down. And mostly it is the most powerful hand, the most powerful anointing. Come and see them pray against those people. There you see strange tongues, you know, tongues that have hidden. They come out powerful because they perceive that their enemy is a human being. But the Bible has clearly said it. That you are not wrestling with a human being. It is an unskilled soldier who wrestles human being, who think that a human being is his enemy. And so, you know what the devil does? He stays back and he's laughing because he's able to turn one believer against the other believer. One man of God, he said, no, these people, we don't mention them. These people, don't mention them here. Don't mention in my presence. Hey, how is it possible? Ladies and gentlemen, if you think that a human being is your enemy, you can never walk in love. You can never walk in the love that Jesus Christ demonstrated to us. You can never do that. If you think that a human being is your enemy, I'm telling you, you are going to invoke all your negative emotions against that person. And you cannot walk in love. You see the person you found, and your heart, your face frowns. Imagine your heart, how it has frowned. And you are inviting diseases unto yourself. I want you to know that the first credential of a skilled soldier is that he knows that he is not fighting against flesh and blood. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 also tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Hallelujah. So we need to get it, because oftentimes our enemy, the devil, will hide behind people and try to disturb the system. But you must always see beyond humans. Love the human being, and I'll teach you how to go about this thing. When you love the human being, even the vessel that the devil is using, the person will come to himself. Oh yes, Philip tried that in Samaria. There was this man who was deceiving all the people. He said there is a great power of God. Bible says that when he heard Philip preach the things concerning Jesus and the kingdom, he believed. I mean, he saw that, oh, what I was using, I was just an agent of the devil. He came to himself. Love, the things about Jesus. I don't know how you can preach about Jesus without preaching about love, because that is him. He is the love of God. The Bible calls him the son of God's agape. In other words, God's agape brought forth, and that was Jesus. He is the son of God's love. We are in the kingdom of the son of his love. The Greek says we are in the kingdom of his agape son. Jesus is his unconditional love son, who came as the express image of God to show us really who our God is. Really who our God is. Because other people give a bad picture about our God. The best picture you can get. Don't try to balance Jesus with anything. Don't try to look at Jesus and say, well, Jesus, he is very loving. Let's go to Elijah and balance it. You see, a time should come that you have to rebuke, a human being and things like that. You know, don't try to balance. Even Jesus rebuked Peter. Fine. But it was so wonderful. Even the rebuke was with grace. Hallelujah. And he showed love, so much love to Peter. After Peter denied him, he showed him so much love that when Peter saw that it was the Lord, John told him in John chapter 20 that this is the Lord, it is the Lord. Peter, who had denied Jesus, took off, clothed himself with his cloak and fell into the water to swim to Jesus. Somebody he had denied. How could he respond in that manner to somebody he had denied? It is because he knew Jesus, that this man, he would take me in. Actually, Jesus had met him after the resurrection and worked on Peter. I love you. I'll use you. You're a great guy and all that. So when he said, it is the Lord, he had gone a fishing, but he went and swam towards Jesus and said, Jesus, that's for you. So what I'm telling us is that we need to show love. That's why he said, love your enemies. That's why he said, don't return evil for evil. You see that a person is doing you evil, but don't return it. He says that overcome evil with good. Because evil, when you return with evil, evil will increase and it will grow. It will become more. But we can quell evil with good.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So, the unskilled soldier thinks that human beings is fighting against flesh and blood, but it's very clear in the Bible, that your enemy is not a human being. That is how you have to see all men. That's how you have to see all men. Some of them can be agents of the devil, but that is how you have to see the person, that the person is an object of your love. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Please be careful you do not use some exceptional one or two examples that deviate from the principle of loving your enemies to say that, oh, but we can curse our enemies and things like that. No, you can't do that. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Some of them were done by people in error. Oh, you say, oh, but Paul cares, Simon, what's his name? By Jesus and those people that you not see a son for a season and things like that. Check out Paul. First of all, he said he was a great apostle also. And along the line, he changed his confession. He said that he was the least. And then by the time he was going to die, he said he is the chief of all sinners. You see, because the closer you get perfect, mature, the more you see that, oh, my first one, I could have handled it in a better way. I could have handled it in a better way. Hallelujah. That's why I'm giving you Jesus' principle for us to love. The Bible says in Galatians that if you bite, Galatians 5, verse 14 and 15, it says in verse 14 that the law is fulfilled in one phrase, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing. You shall love your enemy, your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, but if you, that's verse 15 now, but if you bite and devour one another, be careful that you are not consumed by one another. In other words, what Paul is telling us is that we should walk in love, not so. Good. And then he says about, we can fall into the tendency of biting and devouring one another. Not God devouring them. You biting and devouring your fellow believer, your fellow man of God. Biting and devouring. The Greek word that is translated bite is also translated twatting. T-H-W-A-R-T. Twat. It's like frustrating one another. See, but if you continue frustrating one another, biting at one another, you see, you bite the person. Do you enjoy a dog bite? You don't enjoy a dog bite. How about a human bite? You don't enjoy. I mean, that guy is biting you all over the place. This is your fellow. Paul says that, but if you bite and devour one another, be careful that you be not consumed. That word, Greek word translated consumed there is destroyed. Why should a soldier destroy another soldier? Just because he doesn't like his nose. It's all right. This is not the soldier God is building up for his kingdomization in our generation. He's a soldier that walks in love. Hallelujah. Wonderful. There was a time that Jesus' apostles came to him And then they said to him that, we saw somebody casting out devils in your name, and we forbid him because he didn't follow us. Jesus says, don't forbid him. It's a mistake. Do you understand the scenario? It means that that person was using the name of Jesus to cast out devils, but he didn't belong to Jesus' church. You understand that? He didn't belong to the party, Jesus' party. He wasn't with the Jesus' disciples going and then he is among. No, he's like on his own. But he's using Jesus' name. And the apostles saw him and said, hey, you don't belong to us. What kind of link do you have to us that you are using Jesus' name? Stop! And they came to complain to, we saw somebody and we stopped him. This is an example of twatting one another. We stopped him. Why? Because he didn't come to kowtow to you. Because he didn't come to do what? To introduce himself to Jesus' party. You understand? The apostles, here am I. But he's doing God's work. Jesus says, don't forbid him. Let him do it. He says that if you bite and devour one another, it's not God doing it, it's you devouring. It's not God refusing to forgive. God, he has forgiven. Read 2 Corinthians. He says that he is not counting their sins against them, but you can retain people's sins. You can retain it, shake it, and pour it on their head until you consume the person because he didn't follow what you think must be followed in your wisdom. Hallelujah. So that is the first credential of a skilled soldier. He doesn't fight human beings. He doesn't see human beings as his enemy. Hallelujah. Number two, a trained soldier fights from the place of God's love. Well, the first one is that he doesn't fight or wrestle humans. Okay, he walks in love. The second criteria or credential is that he fights from the place of God's love. He fights from the place of God's love. Look at the book of Romans chapter 8 and then verse 37. Romans chapter 8 verse 37. He says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Ladies and gentlemen, the skilled soldier wrestles or fights to bring God's kingdom about from the place of God's love. What does it mean? It means that he has a full cognizance of the fact that God loves him or her. A skilled soldier knows that God loves him or her. Wonderful. The Bible says in the book of Jude that keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. It doesn't mean that God will take his love away, but you keep yourself. Don't forget that God loves you. It's important for you to bear in mind that God loves you. You are going against enemy installations, you know. You must bear in mind that God loves you. And it is because of his love for you that you will be more than a conqueror. It says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. That's a picture of a super victorious soldier, conqueror, through him who loved us. Not through my smartness. I'm more than a conqueror through my wisdom. More than a conqueror through my intelligence. Through my righteousness. No, he says that through him who loved us. Who loved us. In other words, God's love makes us conquer. Of course, this is a picture of Jesus Christ conquering for us. And then we become more than conquerors, enjoying booty where we didn't fight. And I'll show you as we go along. So, you must bear in mind that Jesus loves you. God loves you so much. That is why you are going to conquer. And when you conquer, you know it's because God loves me that he gave these enemies to me. Hallelujah. That's it. Let's read it in context. Come to verse 35. Or if you like, let's back down to 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand side of God? Who also makes intercessions for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So, Jesus Christ, even the making of the intercession for us, is a sign of his love for us. I'll come to it. But says that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or troubles or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Look at verse 37. Yet in all these things, with things, in suffering, in being killed, in persecution, famine, distress, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved that, because I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can take this thing one by one and break it down. Because Paul is saying that we are conquering, we are more than conquerors through somebody, Jesus, who loved us. And he says, because I am convinced that these things which can be enemies to us, we can conquer them only by the love of God. Number one is death. Death. That's physical death. Hallelujah. God can so love you that he will shield you from physical death. Simple. Simple. Hallelujah. We do not have to die to be with God. I like to say it this way. That God doesn't need to kill you before he can take you to heaven. The first example there is in the Bible, something called the law of first mention. Somebody walked with God and God didn't kill him. Just God just took him to heaven. So by that thing he has shown you, he is telling you that if I want you to be with me, it's not through death. You understand that? Because he can take you away. I know you'll be afraid. You know, people will fear. You are no more. You are missing. Where are you? And then you say, I'm in heaven. It will be something. But he says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. These are things that can fight us all. Death, life, angels. Can angels be against us? Yes, yes. With some inverted commas. Because angels are not God. Sometimes angels want to do something and God say, hey, don't touch the guy. Don't touch him. Good angels, oh. They don't know grace properly. In fact, they don't know grace very, very well. The depth of their love is not like God's one. So sometimes they, in their zeal, they want to do something and God says, hey, stop. Leave it. I'll go and do it myself. It's in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, it's all there. God himself. If you read it with a Greek, it makes so beautiful a picture that sometimes God can pack those people and say that, me, myself, I am going to do this. I'm going to do this. Paul prayed for a Thessalonica church that God himself should do something. Because if God does it, his touch is not like a representative's touch. You understand that? It's like God preaching to you. It's not like me representing God. I say I'm a spokesman of God speaking to you. I mean, with some inverted commas. You see, God's one is cringing. It's powerful. So he says that even angels, principalities, these people that we bind, powers, things present, things to come, heights, elevated things. That's the Greek. Elevated things, elevated places. There are some places which are elevated and we fear those places. Not depths. It's talking about mysteries. Some things you see that they are profound, they are deep. These things, we can conquer them all. All these things, we can be more than conquerors over all these things. That is why they cannot separate us from the love of God, because it's the love of God that makes us conquer. So he's talking about conquering, you know? And then you see that he is telling us what makes us to conquer is the love of God. He says, because I am persuaded, no death, angels, principality of Ghana, powers of wherever place that you are afraid of, the mysterious places where you say dwarfs are, you know, where the place is heavy, you know, those are the depths, and then the heights, you know. Says that none of these things can separate us from the love of God. In other words, none of these things can prevent us from conquering. Because it's the love of God that makes us to conquer. So the skilled soldier walks in a strong consciousness of the love of God for him and her. When he said in the book of Revelations that you have left your first love, most of the time we interpret it like now we don't love God. No, what he's saying is that we have left the fact that God loves you. Because we think God loves you is for unbelievers. Gospel of salvation. They get born again. Afterwards, the love of God doesn't play anything in your soul jarring. It doesn't play any role in your life on it. And God addressed this Ephesus church and says that I have one thing against you. You guys, I know your works. You are doing things on your own. You forget that I love you. I love you. And that is key. That's very important for us to keep ourselves in the love of God. Know that God loves you. That is how you are going to conquer. Hallelujah. If you grow in the consciousness of the love of God, you see breakthroughs happening to your life. But you don't want that. What do you want? What the unskilled soldier want is to take principalities and bind them and bind them and bind them and bind them without the consciousness of the love of God for him. Some people, because they have deserted the love of God and they are doing their own works, they don't receive the breakthroughs that they are looking for. But when you grow in the consciousness of the fact that God loves you, that is why the second credential of a skilled soldier, a trained soldier, is that he fights from the place of God's love. He knows I'm going to battle. God's love is with me. God loves. Hallelujah. And I am more than a conqueror because of his love for me. Number three, the third credential of a skilled soldier is that he fights from the place of rest. He fights from the place of rest. From the place of rest. God's trained soldiers, they fight from victory. The untrained soldiers, they fight for victory. They fight for it. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.